Hi, everybody. From the podcasting world, it is February 12th, 2019. I almost said 2012. 2-12-2012. I almost went crazy here. Also, I'm live on Instagram as of this recording. But for those of you listening, at any time of day, morning, afternoon, evening, this is the Dini Truths podcast. Hope you all have been having a good day for yourself. So I did things a little differently this time around with my workout regimen. I decided to set the bar so low and then work my way up, kind of like a video game. So I'm kind of doing pretty much everything when it comes to leveling up. So I'm starting with the lowest weight and then working my up to the highest weight. Wait, it's like high, low, high, low, high, low. That's how it's done on the weights. So, yeah, I decided to do that because I felt like a little bit of a pull in my muscles in that area because I was just using too much weight. I wasn't using the machines all that well either. So, wasn't helping. So, it's time for me to actually talk about something. Well, first, we're going to have an interview with Josh Sanchez near the end of the show. For those of you listening on Instagram, you won't be able to see that first, that last part, but you'll be able to hear it on the podcasting platforms after you see this live. So that's the way that I'm going to be doing it. But for those of you listening on the podcast, I'm going to be talking about this little flaw that I have, and then we'll get right into the interview. All right. So this one is going to be I wouldn't say emotional. I shouldn't be saying it's, but you know, it kind of is in a way because I don't know. I mentioned last time, but my first flaw was I don't wear my heart on my sleeve. You know, I keep everything in, and a lot of times that same emotion can oftentimes lead me to some insensitivity. Like I just don't understand what people's feelings are at that time. Like, you have to be pretty, you have to be really straightforward with me. Like, I do not understand, like, social cues all that well. It's very, very difficult for me to try to figure out, like, exactly what you're thinking in the inside. If you don't tell me right away, then I'm just like, what's going on? Like, I don't know. I just take everything at face value. Hey, my good friend Steve is in the chat. Hi, Steve. What's up, bro? That's Instagram for those of you that don't know or are listening to the podcasting. By the way, I gotta tell people about actually doing that. So let's continue. So that fact certainly doesn't help matters. The fact that I have to have things said straightforward to me is always like the issue. But like, I don't know. I wish I can, I try to be as sensitive as I can to when people are feeling down. And a lot of times it seems to be working, but in the times in real need or when somebody's like really sharing something that's really personal, I don't know how to react to it. Like, that's always been a little bit of a detriment to that. And I can't really explain why. Maybe it's because it's like too much for me to express. Like, I don't even know like what the right reaction is to something of a story that's like very, very out there. But I'm really trying to get better at that. A lot of times, you know, it comes off like sometimes that maybe they think I'm insensitive because I'm not sharing enough from their point of view. It could be that they share, but then I'm just like, okay, I'm just continuing the conversation and I'm not really adding anything of my own. So that could be a problem. And I don't know why that would be a ditch. I don't know how. I gotta think exactly. I mean, what exactly to do to try to fix that? Some of that could be so that I can express myself a little bit more. that's kind of the thing with when it comes to self-confidence. Like, sometimes I'm not confident enough to speaking what's on my mind at that time, and that could be the cause of it. I think the only way that I can definitely see myself changing. Hold on, let me adjust this. There we go. The only way I can really see myself changing is trying to think along those lines. So I'm trying to get better at that, and you know, I'm learning from some of my friends who are really on the opposite end of the spectrum, and they wear their heart on their sleeve, but then they tell me sometimes that can be a detriment because you practically, you know, say everything that's on your mind. I mean, what can I do at that time? So I'm sorry, I'm at a loss for words. I'm just not really good at it, expressing it. It just comes off as like I'm not really good at like thinking what's on my mind. But you know, one of these days I'm gonna just sit down and I'm just gonna be looking at, you know, whatever it is that I need to. You know, it's stuff that I need to do. It's stuff that I, you know, some of the solutions that I have, because I came up with some solutions, but I'm not sharing with them with you right away. I gotta at least give it some time before. But you know, my self-confidence, you know, that could be something that is. I mean, it, you know, doing being a very deep emotional person can be. It could be beneficial, and you know, that's why I started to come up with this podcast, so that I can be, you know, deep into it. And you know, it took a lot of effort for me to explain everything that was, you know, it was hard for me to express what was going on with me a couple of days ago with all my friends. But you know, when I did that episode about, you know, when I opened myself up, I felt a lot closer. I mean, that really was what I believe. I felt that I got that from people that were very, very close to me. But it doesn't feel like it's enough. And you know, it comes back again to, you know, I'm a very rational, logical person, and the only emotions I ever express are, you know, really ones that are very positive, because I come in with a lot of energy. You know, people love my energy. People love that, you know, I'm a hype man, as Nina calls me. It's just all that, you know, they see that on the surface, but they don't necessarily, you know, they don't see what I'm feeling on the inside, because I never express it, because it comes off as a weakness, I think. Again, it's the weakness thing. I've been having people tell me, it's like, it's weak if you don't actually say something. It's stronger for you when you actually do it. And I saw the results of that. But there's a lot more that I probably won't share as of right now, but I definitely was going to be focusing on, you know, doing self-care. And, you know, something that I wanted to talk about for Valentine's Day, I think it's important that this year I focus on some self-love. Because, you know, that's something that I don't think I've been really focusing on for the past many years that I've been alive. I've always focused on trying to see if, like, that's the one thing I shouldn't focus on, because I still have 364 days to do that. But, you know, I mean, that's true. I mean, I have like the rest of the year to do that. But, you know, this is, it's a special thing for, you know, for people, you know, to celebrate a day of love, which is Thursday. People do it with couples. People do it, you know, Single Awareness Day. Everybody's got Single Awareness Day. But for me, it's going to be a self-love day. And I got two interviews for that. Tomorrow, I'm going to be talking with Tammy Loftus, who I've had on the show before. She's going to be coming on tomorrow. We're going to be talking about love in her point of view. And then Dream's going to come on for Valentine's Day, actually. She and I are going to be sitting down, and, you know, she has some self-love things that, you know, she talked about on her Instagram. So we're going to talk about all of that in terms of content for the next few days or so. But, you know, for Valentine's Day, I wanted to at least on the eve have something about love, and then maybe some self-love on Valentine's Day. So, I mean, it all worked. You know, I don't know how much people take it seriously. I know Josh, who you'll hear later on, he's taken it seriously this year because he has his girlfriend who he's known for 6 months now and is very happy. He's met her, loves her very much from exactly what she's been saying. You know, I'm, you know, it's gonna be for self-love for me, is like being sure I'm able to express whatever I'm feeling at that time, and being sensitive to other people's emotions, which kind of goes hand in hand. But I mean, it's a flaw. I mean, if I don't know exactly how people are feeling, you know, right when they're in front of me. And, you know, Nina said something to this to me. She said something to the effect of, I opened my heart. I opened up to you like the first night we ever hung out, and you didn't really have like any like expression. You were like an android. You know, she admitted that to me. So I was like, and I told her, it's not easy for me. You know, it took me a while for me to open up to her. And we've been best friends now for about 6 months. So, I mean, even then, we're learning more stuff about each other than we already know. So, I mean, she loves it that I'm opening up like this. And so is practically everybody else. So, I am going to... Wait, how long have I been going on for in this segment? Oh, God, wow, double digits already. Pretty good. All right, I didn't want to go too much into it solo-wise. But, you know, we did about 25 minutes with Josh Sanchez from Swoop Radio. So we're going to be taking a break. We're going to be hearing something from my sponsor, from Anchor, in a little bit. And then once that's over, we'll jump right into the interview with Josh with Swoop Radio. So stay tuned for that. That's coming up next. So let's take a little break, maybe get a sip of water, maybe go to the bathroom if you need to, and listen to the ad while you're at it. All right, guys, for those on Instagram, I'm going to be ending it now. So I'll be catching you guys later. But for the rest of you, stay tuned for the Josh Sanchez episode, or I should say interview, coming up next. Catch you soon. Josh.
Hey, what's up? How are you doing?
Oh, I just got done working out.
How did that go?
Oh, well, I'm setting the bar really low this time because I felt like I set the bar way too high and I ended up injuring myself. Well, not injuring myself, but I ended up pulling like a muscle or something. So I'm doing it like a video game. I'm starting low and working my way up. So
that's good. Keep on going, bro.
Thank you. How you doing, Josh?
I'm doing good. I've been going through school. I've been in school for about, like, this is my fifth week now in school, so it's starting to, the workload's starting to increase. I've been having there's been a lot of snow this week so far, so I don't have class today, so I actually have a lot of extra time. I'm probably going to go work later, because I do DoorDash to make some money until our Anchor podcasts grow up. But yeah, all my friends went to UD, University of Delaware. So like I'm missing them a little bit, but here I am, ready to record, ready to have some fun.
Oh, I cannot wait, because we've been trying to get this for like the past week, but you know, it's been crazy for the both of us.
Yeah.
But hey, we have like a month and a half now not a month and a half. What am I saying? A week and a half to dissect everything that happened two Sundays ago with the Super Bowl. But, first of all, how'd you like the game?
The game, I thought that was probably one of the worst Super Bowls I've ever watched. Like, I actually was doing homework during the Super Bowl. And for those who know me, like, I love watching sports, and I love examining the game, and I love watching the matchups. And that's one thing I always do. Like, even if the score is like a blowout, I'll still like examine the matchups. But this is one of those games where it was a defensive game. It was great defensive wise. If you were a big fan of defense, you had yourself a great Super Bowl. 13-3, like it doesn't get any, it doesn't get any lower than that. That is the lowest scoring Super Bowl ever. So to think, in a year where we saw literally two teams put up 50 points in the same game, to have a Super Bowl that's 13-3. It just shows you that it's just unpredictable. Now, in terms of the game, again, defensive wise, it was awesome, but offensively, Brady and Jared Goff struggled a lot. You can tell being in the Super Bowl really affected Jared Goff, because he missed guys wide open. He had Cooks a couple times in the end zone that he did not make the right throw to. I know Cooks also did drop a pass in the end zone, But like even on a couple third downs, like Tony Romo's commentary, that's another thing. Like Tony Romo's commentary, he's probably the best broadcaster right now. The way how he just dissects plays. Like he showed a couple plays. Like there was a 3rd and 20 play where Jared Goff had Woods wide open across the middle, but instead he tried to throw a deep ball to Cooks in the double coverage. It was just mental errors like that that just really hurt the Rams offensively, because defensive wise they played great. Like if you were to tell me that you hold Tom Brady to 13 points, and like you're going to tell me that you're going to win the game, honestly. But the Patriots defense and Bill Belichick really showed up and really shut down Jared Goff.
Oh, they did, but at what cost, though? That's like, because I stopped watching. I'll tell you this: we were at a restaurant, my buddy and I, and then as soon as halftime started, we were just like, okay, this place, the place is dead. This nobody's really watching this, so let's just go back and watch it back at our own houses, and we'll just check up on it. And even then, the second half just didn't feel that great. But otherwise, we're getting away from the game. But we got to talk about the mindset of these two teams. There's a winner and there's a loser, regardless of how the scoring was, regardless of what people thought. There's a winner and there's a loser in this game, always. So let's talk about the winning mindset and the losing mindset. So we got the pit. We'll start with the Rams, and then we'll work on the Patriots after that. So I know you talked a little bit about Jared Goff and like how he missed a lot of good plays, but what else did you see in terms of what their mindset was like, and why do you think that they lost?
I think the reason why they lost again, this is Jared Goff's and this is the Rams. Like they have a very young team, and one of the downsides about youth sometimes is once you lose your confidence in a game, it's shown, and we see that a lot. Like I'm a big, I know I'm going a little bit, I know I'm going a little bit off. I'm going to go a little bit off topic here.
Okay.
But even with the Sixers and what they did and how they added all these new veterans, like we used to rely on rookies off the bench and they're just inconsistent. And that's the thing with youth is as great as youth is, that lack of experience could be your biggest enemy. And that's what we saw in Jared Goff in the Super Bowl a couple weeks ago. We saw a guy that all year he threw for over 4,000 yards. He had a good solid season. He had his best season of his career. And when the stage mattered most, he did not show up. But this is not the first time Jared Goff has not shown up in the big night stage. As you recall, earlier in the season, the Eagles, when they went into Los Angeles, the Rams the week prior lost to the Bears in prime time at Sunday Night Football. They lost to the Bears 14-6. Then the Eagles come into Los Angeles and they upset them back again. They upset them again on prime time NBC. So there's just something when it comes to nationally televised games, Jared Goff does just not show up yet. And that's just one of the downsides. Like we saw with Nick Foles. Like Nick Foles just has that clutch gene, where it's like games on the line, we need you to step up. He's just mentally tough, as we see, and we see that with Brady, and I'll get to Brady in a little bit. But we don't see that with Jared Goff. We see a guy that's still learning, a guy that's still developing. And in terms of him and the receivers, they all lost confidence on themselves. Once they got stopped, I believe they punted the ball for the first 8 possessions of the game. Like once they got, yeah, yes, 8 possessions of the game. Once they got stopped in that first quarter, those first couple drives, mentally they knew that they were defeated. Like once Jared Goff missed those throws, in every game, the beginning of the game is so important, especially for young guys, because if they're able to get a rhythm early in the game and they're able to hit their receivers in stride on time, then they start getting confidence in themselves. We didn't see that in the Super Bowl. We saw Jared Goff miss guys early in the game, and that's what affected him the rest of the night. He let that night. He let his early misses and let his early mistakes get the best of him. And even when you saw on that interception he threw in the fourth quarter, it was just a terrible pass. Like you got to throw the ball away. You can just tell, like mentally being in that stage, being in the highest pinnacle of the Super Bowl really got to him, because we saw him take sacks that he shouldn't have taken. He should have threw the ball away. Just a lot of mental errors. And he also admitted that in his press conference that he was just not mentally there. He blamed the loss on himself. Like he was hard on himself. And that's what happens when you're on the losing side. Like, a lot of people, when they lose immediately, they like to point fingers. But the first step is just acknowledging what you did and what you could have done better. And that's what happened with Jared Goff. Mentally, he was just early in the game. He missed easy throws. He could not get in the rhythm, and he let that lack of confidence and let the stage get to his head. And it's just a common theme with a lot of athletes. You train so hard for an event, you get this anxiety because you really care about this event, that sometimes the anxiety overcomes you and you end up messing up. We saw that with Cam Newton when he was in the Super Bowl a couple years ago when the Broncos defeated the Panthers. Cam Newton was missing high a lot early in the game. But that's what it comes down to, just getting that first experience. The Patriots, they have been there. They've done that. This is their 9th Super Bowl, so they're used to the big stage. But a great stat that I want you guys to your listeners to always know this is for every Super Bowl the Patriots are in, they never score a touchdown in the first quarter. Never. And they did not score a touchdown in this year's Super Bowl either. So that's just a little stat I wanted to throw out there as well.
Yeah, as I remember, because I remember the 2 Giants Super Bowls. We've gotten the field goal, but we've always gotten them to where, you know, the first quarter was always like the toughest part for them. But then they just came back a little bit, and then we steamrolled over them. Don't like to brag too much, but, you know, we're one of the only 2 teams that's ever beaten them in the Super Bowl. So, but of course, okay, so what do you think the Rams have to do if, like, okay, so say next season they get back in the Super Bowl. Let's say they win the NFC conference. They're in there again. They're going up against whatever AFC team is. What do you think they have to do differently this time compared to what the performance was last 2 weeks ago?
What the Rams need to do first is, again, like, they can't let the Super Bowl hangover get to them. And it's easier said than done. Because obviously, like, it's like, oh, you never experienced this, so how am I supposed to know? It's like, but I mean, I've played sports where we've lost, where my team's lost in the championship, and it's derailing. It hurts a lot. Like, being one game away from winning and losing that game is mentally just challenging, and a lot of players never recover from it. Like, we saw a whole Seattle Seahawks team. They literally won the Super Bowl the year before, but when Russell Wilson threw that pick at the goal line, from that moment on, that core, Richard Sherman and all them, they didn't believe in their coach anymore, and they ended up separating. Now the Seahawks are separated. We thought that they were going to be a dynasty when that Super Bowl loss really hurt them and that Super Bowl hangover really affected them. Even though they made the playoffs the following season, they still were never the same.
Mm-hmm.
But with this Rams team, the good thing that's with them is they're young. Jared Goff's only 24 years old. He's going to be 25 next year. So he still has a bright future ahead. Todd Gurley, obviously, he wasn't even 100% in the Super Bowl. He's young. He's one of the best running backs in football. Sean McVay is only 33 years old. He's one of the youngest coaches he is the youngest coach in the NFL and the youngest coach to ever make the Super Bowl. So they at least have things to hang their heads up on. Now, do I believe next year they may take a couple steps back? I believe so, because I'm a firm believer in the Super Bowl hangover. We saw the Falcons literally, like, when they lost the Super Bowl to the Patriots that following season, they struggled mightily. People thought that they would be back, and they ended up not making they made the playoffs as a 6th seed, but they were struggling all year. I definitely believe that there is such a thing as a Super Bowl hangover or like the loser of the Super Bowl. I believe there's a stat that the loser of the Super Bowl has not reached the Super Bowl the following season. I got to look up on that. I believe that has happened, like, the following year. But mentally, like, you just got to find some positivity in this. And it's hard. It's going to take time. But time can also be the greatest healer as well. Like, obviously, initially you're going to be upset about the game and stuff, but as the offseason happens and as you work out again and as you get back to playing football again, you realize, hey, like, we really were one game away from winning, and we have a bright future ahead of us, because the Rams do. They have a bright future. In terms of what Jared Goff can do, just being mentally ready for the moment. Now that he's experienced the moment, how can you learn from that and grow? Because one thing that we all need to realize as humans is we're all going to make mistakes. No one has a perfect life. Like, Michael Jordan going 6-for-6 in the finals, Like, that may be perfection in the biggest stage, but a lot of people don't realize Michael Jordan had many years that he couldn't even get out of the Eastern Conference. So what I'm saying is, you're not going to win a Super Bowl every year. You're not going to be the best team every year. You're not going to be the best player every year. But finding that, you got to find some positivity in everything and realize that, yeah, we may have lost, but I can grow from this and learning from your mistakes. Everyone's going to make mistakes in the world. If no one made a mistake, then no one would grow. Our society would stay the same if no one made a mistake. So that's what everyone needs to realize. Even Jared Goff is, we all make mistakes. And on that losing team, we all make mistakes, but we have to grow from it and we have to learn from it. And that's what the Rams are going to have to do in the offseason.
Very well said, man. Very well said.
Yeah. Of course.
One of the things that I was also going to bring up is like the best. One of the things that I try to do is I compare myself to myself, what I was yesterday to what I am today. So I don't usually, you know, I'm trying not to think ahead too much, but I'm just trying to make sure that I'm better than I was yesterday.
Yes.
So I think that's also important as well. Now let's talk about the Patriots. They're considered now tied with the Steelers for 6 Super Bowl wins, the best dynasty in NFL history. You know, if you look at just numbers, I mean, people will have like subjective opinions on that, but objectively, yes. I mean, compared to like the Steelers organization, like they has had that dynasty going from since Tom Brady was in the Patriots team when he got drafted. I mean, he's not lost a beat. Belichick hasn't lost a beat. They've lost 3 Super Bowls out of the 9 that they've been in, but 6 out of 9 is really good. What is it about this Patriots team that makes them get to 6 Super Bowl wins? What is it with Brady? What is it with Belichick? What is that winning mindset? And how do you get that mindset?
Well, one thing with the Patriots and what they've always done is Bill Belichick has done a great job of creating a system and sticking with that system no matter what happens. Because if you recall, like during this journey of winning 6 Super Bowls and going to 9, you take a guy in Tom Brady in the 6th round whose 40 time was one of the worst in NFL history. Like the Patriots took a lot of big risk to get to this point. But the thing that separates Tom Brady from the others is just his mental preparation. What he does for the game of football, he literally sacrifices his life to train for football. His wife Giselle knows that, and even his kids. Yeah, he still has time for them, but he puts so much time into football, no other player can reach that. No other player can get to the point where Tom Brady is. Tom Brady literally has a whole diet specifically for to get his body ready for the football season. Like, that's what he does physically. Mentally, Tom Brady, like, one thing that people need to realize about Tom Brady's mindset is the first thing is you got to believe in yourself and you got to have 100% confidence that you can do whatever you want to do. And you have to recognize that you're going to make mistakes, because even during this Patriots journey of dominance, like you said, they lost 3 Super Bowls. So even though they're winning a lot of games and they're still being so dominant, they still had seasons of failure. Like the Giants Super Bowl, they went 18-0 going into the year, and then they lost in the Super Bowl. And they've been known as like the biggest chokes, like one of the biggest chokes of all time. Mm-hmm. And because if you recall, before like they won on these, before they won these past 3 Super Bowls, people were talking about how this Patriots dynasty like is actually a big disappointment recently. Like people were talking about Tom Brady. Because there was talks about Tom Brady or Peyton Manning, because Manning had his 2nd ring and Brady still had 3, and there was a lot of talks about that. But acknowledging that you're going to make mistakes and acknowledging that you're not going to be the best all the time, that's one of the steps of being able to grow amongst yourself. And then when that happens, gaining confidence in yourself, believing in yourself, having no doubt that, yeah, like, what I do makes a difference. And it's hard sometimes, especially it's hard when it comes to relationships with people and relationships with yourself, because people doubt themselves every single day. Even Tom Brady doubts himself from time to time. He's 42 and still playing. But again, gaining confidence, believing in yourself, and having that growth mindset that it doesn't matter where I come from, I can achieve anything. I can achieve anything my partner next to me can do. That's why Tom Brady specifically is the greatest quarterback in terms of legacy of all time. Because in terms of physical gifts, look at him. He can't even run outside the pocket. There is quarterbacks 20 times more athletic than Tom Brady. But Tom Brady, again, knows that when the game matters most, and when he, every time he touches that football field, he knows that he has put his 100% work in, has 100% confidence in him and the system, and he knows that he can achieve anything. He can achieve anything, and that's just something that people need to realize, that you can achieve anything if you put your mind to it. You don't need to have the physical gifts to be talented. You need to work hard. You need to gain confidence. Whatever task you do when it comes to podcasting, practicing, doing show prep, continuing to do that, again, like working out, like making small goals, achieving those small goals, then make a little bit bigger goals, then you make the bigger goals, and then you make your outcome goal, which is your dream goal that you always wanted. Like how I'm inspired by your journey and how you're running and how you're losing weight and stuff like that. End of my senior year of high school, I set a goal for myself. I weighed 186, and I said in 2 years, my goal is to weigh 160. Right now, I am at 165. I have lost. It's not like a huge goal, but like it's just been like steady pace and just create. Another thing is you got to create goals that you can reach, goals that are manageable. And it's very hard, because how can you find, like, because once you're able to achieve those goals, you learn a lot about yourself, and you learn a lot about that. So that's what Tom Brady does specifically. Now, in terms of Bill Belichick and that system, Bill Belichick came from the Browns. He wanted to make this system, and he believed in this system, because we've seen, like, the Patriots have been such a, like, throughout their runs, they've always had, like, these weird wide receivers that come out of nowhere. Wes Welker, Julian Edelman, Danny Amendola. Like, you see all these, like, short little like, I don't want to sound like stereotypical, but you see all these short little white guys running around the field, and it's like, how are they doing this? How are they getting open? It's because, again, it comes down to belief. You believe in the system. You believe in the goals that you've set for yourself. Julian Edelman was a 7th-round pick and a quarterback in college, and now he's a 3-time Super Bowl champion, Super Bowl MVP. And that's all because of hard work. And because Julian Edelman puts a lot of work into the game, and just having confidence in yourself. But, like, anyway, back to my point, the Patriots go from having Randy Moss to having Gronk to having all these little receivers, because they won a Super Bowl without Gronkowski. Like, that's another thing that people just don't realize. Like, it's just a system. If you buy into the system, and you believe in whatever it is that you set forth, and you create little goals, and then you achieve those goals, and you never stop working. That's one thing about the Patriots mindset. Literally, the day after they win the Super Bowl, Bill Belichick's always like, all right, next season, let's go. Always, you got you accept your success, but you got to continue to grow from that success. And that's why the Patriots continue to reach new heights. They continue to motivate themselves. They just continue to buy into the system, believe in Bill Belichick, believe in Brady, believe in the group of people that they have, because this was a Patriots team that was not as talented as they were in years past. Like, last year, like, yeah, they may not have had Edelman, but they had Gronk, they had Hogan, they had all these guys that were just getting open. Whereas this year, like, they lost their best receiver in Josh Gordon statistically. And other guys had to step up, and mentally it's just, again, just buying into the system and believing in what you can do, and then believing that anyone can achieve greatness no matter what talent you have. If you work together with your core guys, you can do it. So that's why the Patriots are always so good, and that's why they're like one of the mental, like, they're like the Spurs in basketball, just mentally tough during the Spurs dominance. Like, it's just, it's amazing. Like, I mean, people hate the Patriots continue to win, but you just got to sit back and admire it, because we're never going to see this again.
No, this is a once in a lifetime like viewing of this, and you know we're both thankful enough that we grew up in that in this dynasty era where we can actually see it until it finally ends once Brady retires and once Belichick retires. I mean, who knows where they're going to end up, but it's going to be like once that era ends, it's going to be an interesting thing to see where the entire sport goes after this. Like, who's going to be the next dynasty? Like, who's going to be the next team that's number one? That's always going to be an interesting question, and we don't know that yet. We don't know that, but we'll find out in the future. Now, one last thing I want to ask you before I let you go.
Okay.
Valentine's Day is 2 days away.
Yes.
I wanted to know what you like. What do you think of Valentine's Day, and what is like? I know that you have a little. I know I saw like your pictures yesterday of with you, yeah, you and your GF. So, first of all, how's that going? And what do you think of Valentine's Day in general?
Well, I must say, are you in the horoscopes?
Not technically, no.
But are you aware of them?
Yes, I am.
Okay, so I'll give your little viewers a little side topic. Obviously, me and my girlfriend, according, this is why you can never go by like statistics, and you can never go by like what articles say and stuff like that. My girlfriend's a Gemini. I'm a Taurus, and for those who know those signs, they are not compatible at all. Like, like I looked it up. Like, they're the least compatibility. Geminis like to go out, have fun, be crazy, have a good time. Tauruses, we like to just sit back, chill, relax, and let life come to us. Whereas Geminis, they like to be all over the place. But that being said, me and my girlfriend, I love her a lot. We've been going out for 6 months now. We met at the workplace. I used to work at a Boys and Girls Club. And me and her were summer counselors together, and we just our chemistry grew from there. And she's one of the people that went back to UD, so obviously I miss her. I miss her a lot now because I'm used to seeing her all the time. But for Thursday, we plan to we're probably going to do like a small dinner Thursday because she has class Friday. But on the weekend we're going to celebrate. We're going to go to like a fancy dinner. I already made reservations for Saturday. I'm gonna buy her a couple gifts. Hopefully she's not listening, but I'm gonna bring surprise with flowers, some chocolate, because she means the world to me. Me and her did promise rings last weekend before she went to school, just because like we were both like just stressed out because we know that we're not gonna see each other as much during these next couple months because of her, because she's living at UD and I'm commuting and I go to school in PA. So we're gonna see each other as much as we can, but it's just gonna take time. But yeah, she means the world to me. I love her a lot. That's one thing. Like one thing about me. Like once you have like my heart and everything, you have everything. And it's been good. It's been positivity, and like honestly, like coming in, like I was not expecting to be in a relationship at all during this point in my life because I'm still trying to finish school and stuff like that. But that just shows you guys, and that also shows, like even you and like your fan base as well. Like it just shows everyone that all it takes is like one person. You can meet that one person at the most random time. It just happens. Like I never would have thought 6 months ago, 6 or 7 months ago, where we started talking, that we would be in this position. Like just never thought of that initially. But I obviously I liked her, but like I didn't know that we were gonna like fall in love and travel, because like we've been to Boston, we plan on going to New York in a couple weeks. Let me know if you're around in New York area. I'll let you know when I go to New York. Maybe we could like meet up and I'll introduce you to her.
Cool.
She's good energy, good people. But yeah, that's just a little side note. I know I went on a little mumble there. I just love talking about her. I love talking about us. It's good, and I hope everyone else has a wonderful Valentine's Day as well. I know it's during the week, so it's crappy, but that weekend is gonna be special for a lot of people.
Oh, it is. I'm gonna be talking about that in a couple of episodes, so I'll save it for then. But I want to thank you for coming on, man. I mean, we've been going for a long time now. So I do want to tell you though, I will be in New York in about the first week of April. I'm going to be celebrating a podcast anniversary from one of my other shows, so I'm going to be with the entire crew from there up in New York City. So I'll be up there, I think, the week of the 8th. So I'll let you know exactly what days I'll be up there.
That's perfect. Just let me know, because I'm going to take her to the Met Museum. She's in the museums and stuff, so I'm going to take her there. And then I was thinking, yeah, if we could meet, we could link up and stuff.
Cool.
I'm here for it.
Awesome. All right, dude. I gotta get going because I gotta start making some money now. So
of course, yeah. Trust me, I understand.
Yeah. So but, all right, dude.
But all right, be safe out there. Have a good one.
Yeah, you too, man. I'll see you soon.
See you soon.
Bye.
Bye.
All right, guys, that's gonna do it for our episode tonight. Or this afternoon or morning, whenever you were listening. Check me out on Anchor if you want to leave me a voice message about anything. It could be about any episode that you've listened to. It could be about anything that I've said, anything that I haven't said. What do you want me to talk about? Is there anything interesting that you want to know about me? By all means, leave me an Anchor message. I'd love to hear what you guys want me to talk about or what you think of the show. You can follow me on Apple Podcasts. Leave me a review. Rate me how many stars you want. I'd love to see what you guys think about it. Spotify, the new big platform that just acquired Anchor, so you might want to listen on there. But until then, I'm going to have my interview with Tammy Loftus tomorrow. And you'll be hearing her and me as well. So until then, thank you guys for listening, and we'll catch you guys tomorrow. Arrivederci, everybody.